The Falls of the Chaudière, Ottawa, by Charles Sangster. I have laid my cheek to nature's, placed my puny hand in hers, felt a kindred spirit warming all the lifeblood of my face, moved amid the very foremost of her truest worshippers, studying each curve of beauty, marking every minute grace. Loved not less the mountain cedar than the flowers at his feet, looking skyward from the valley, open-lipped as if in prayer, felt a pleasure in the brooklet singing of its wild retreat, but I knelt before the splendor of the thunderous Chaudière. All my manhood walked within me, every nerve had tenfold force, and my soul stood up rejoicing, looking on with cheerful eyes, watching the restless waters speeding on their downward course, Titan strength and queenly beauty, diademed with rainbow dyes. Eye and ear with spirit quickened, mingled with the lovely strife, saw the living genius shrine within her sanctuary fair, heard her voice of sweetness singing, peered into her hidden life, and discerned the tuneful secret of the jubilant Chaudière. Within my pearl-roofed shell, whose floor is woven with the iris bright, genius and queen of the Chaudière I dwell, as in a world of immaterial light. My throne an ancient rock, marked by the foot of ages long departed, my joy the cataract's stupendous shock, whose roll is music to the grateful-hearted. I've seen the eras glide with muffled tread to their eternal dreams, while I have lived in vale and mountainside with leaping torrents and sweet-purling streams. The red man's act of life, his love, pride, passions, courage, and great deeds, his perfect freedom and his thirst for strife, his swift revenge at which the memory bleeds. The sanguinary years when sullen terror like a raging fate swept down the stately tribes like slaughtered deers, and war and hatred joined to decimate the remnants of the race, and the spread decay through centuries of pain. No more I mark their sure avenging pace, and forests wave where war whoops shook the plain. Their deeds I envied not, the royal tyrant on his purple throne. I, in secluded grove or shady grot, had purer joys than he had ever known. God made the ancient hills, the valleys and the solemn wildernesses, the merry-hearted and melodious rills, and strung with diamond dews the pine tree's tresses. But man's hand built the palace, and he that reigns therein is simply man. Man turns God's gifts to poison in the chalice that brimmed with nectar in the primal plan. Here I abide alone. Their wild Chaudière's eternal jubilee has such sweet divination in its tone, and utters nature's truest prophecy in thunderings of zeal. I've seen the atheist in terror start, awed to contrition by the strong appeal that waked conviction in his doubting heart. Teachers speak throughout all nature from the womb of silence born. Heed ye not their words, O scoffer, flinging back thy scorn with scorn to the desert spring that leapeth, pulsing from the parched sod, points the famished traveller, saying, "Brothers, here indeed is God." From the patriarchal fountains sending forth their tribes of rills, from the cedar-shadowed lakelets in the hearts of distant hills, whispers softer than the moonbeams wisdom's gentle heart have awed, till its lips approved the cadence. Surely here indeed is God. Lo, o'er all the torrent prophet and inspired Demosthenes, to the doubter's soul appealing, louder than the preacher sees, dreamer, wouldst have nature spurn thee for a dumb insensate clod? Dare to doubt, and these shall teach thee of a truth there lives a God. By day and night for hours I watch the cataract's impulsive leap, refreshed and gladdened by the cheering showers wrung from the passion of the seething deep. Pleased when the buried waves emerge again like incorporeal hosts, rising white-sheeted from their gloomy graves as if the depths had yielded up their ghosts. And when the midnight storm enfolds the welkin in its robe of clouds, through the dim vapors of the cauldron swarm the sheeted specters in their whitest shrouds. By the lightning's flash betrayed, these gather from the insubstantial vapor the lunar rainbows which by them are made, woven with moonbeams by some starry taper, to decorate the halls of my fair palace, whence I'm pained to see thy human brethren watch the waterfalls, not with such reverence as I've found in thee. Too many with an eye to speculation and the worldling's dreams, others who seek from nature no reply, nor read the oral language of the streams. But of the few who loved the beautiful with grateful heart and soul, who looked on nature fondly and were moved by one sweet glance as by the mighty whole, of these, the thoughtful few, thou wert the first to seek the inner temple and stand before the priestess. Thou wert true to nature and thyself. Be thy example the harbinger of times when the Chaudière's imposing majesty will awe the spirits of the heartless mimes to worship God in truth with nature's constancy. Still I heard the mellow sweetness of her voice at intervals, mingling with the fall of waters, rising with the snowy spray, ringing through the sportive current like the joy of waterfalls, sending up their hearty vespers at the calmy close of day. Loath to leave the scene of beauty, lover-like I stayed and stayed, folding to my eager bosom memories beyond compare, deeper, stronger, more enduring than my dreams of wood and glade, were the eloquent appeals of that magnificent Chaudière. E'en the solid bridges trembling, whence I look my last farewell, dizzy with the roar and trampling of the mighty herd of waves, speeding past the rocky island, steadfast as a sentinel, toward the loveliest bay that ever mirrored the Algonquin braves. Soul of beauty, genius, spirit, priestess of the lovely strife, in my heart thy words are shrined as in a sanctuary fair. Echoes of thy voice of sweetness, rousing all my better life, ever haunt my wildest visions of the jubilant Chaudière.